Helaman chapter 12. In this chapter, Helaman gives his great discourse on on man and the state of man and what man is like, and it's a great discourse on the love of God. And it begins in the first verse by saying that the Lord doth bless and prosper those who put their trust in Him. And we then have learned that prosper is physical, and bless means that He will progress them. And that's the main thing that we desire to be blessed in, is He will progress us and literally turn us into perfect souls or perfect beings. And then it says, though, that you must put your trust in Him. And I have to repeat this so many times. Feel in your heart what the meaning trust is. Trust says that you, again, it will not seem reasonable to you what He tells you to do. But you have to trust Him, because man judges by the sight of his eyes and his own imperfect mind. And he is telling him that, no, to trust the Lord. And again, to trust Him means that you are told to do something that's unreasonable. That does not mean that's what leaders are telling you. Leaders always tell you the most reasonable and easiest path. Obviously, then, you must receive this from the Spirit. And when you trust Him, you trust the Spirit. And you believe that the Lord has power to administer your life and make sure that things turn out properly. He then, nonetheless, he says that men harden their hearts. As soon as He prospers them in this life, they harden their hearts, meaning they do not receive the Spirit. The Spirit talks to your heart. They do not want to hear what the Spirit says or tells them to do. And they don't receive the Spirit, and it says why. It says because of their ease and their prosperity, meaning they have all this product, and it's easy to, life becomes easy as far as taking care of it. So when the Lord is your provider and He prospers you, it's easy to make it in this life. There's nothing to it. And so then, therefore, we turn to idleness and other things. And why do we turn to idleness? Because nonetheless, when you're following the Spirit is not easy, because it's changing your character. It's matching up your spirit with your body and mastering your body, and that will go on throughout your entire life. And it's not easy, even though you've got prosperity and it's easy to live in this world. You still are trying to perfect your soul, and that is not easy. So man does not want to go or expend the work to follow the Spirit. So therefore, when they turn from the Spirit, they end up turning completely from the Lord. And he says in verse 3 that He must visit them with death and care and famine and pestilence to turn unto the Lord. And I would like to restate that word care. And that is what it seems to wake man up to turn to their Lord. And that's why it's here. If you will turn to the Lord and remember Him, it doesn't even say that you have to follow the Spirit and become a true follower of Christ. If you just remember Him, at least that's how you can get rid of this. And the reason we continue to become a true follower of Christ is because we understand that clearly, and we know the great benefit of that we're receiving from it, that everything is for us. And that's why we do that. That's done by a free choice and a desire. But if you want to just get rid of the tear and the problems, then you just have to remember the Lord. And why? Because it's not that the Lord wants to punish you or be mean to you when He's put down here to do this. He is trying to wake this death and the tear and all is to wake you up to the miserable state that you are leading yourself to. He's getting this war and everything is telling you this is what hell is like. So He's just giving you a clear example and feeling of hell. Now, do you want hell or not? So He gives you this tear, and He says, no, I don't want that. I will turn from that. Some still don't turn. They just grow in their hate. Well, these are the ones who will be sons of perdition. They find that even in the tear, they don't want the Lord. They won't make the choice for His love. They don't want it better. They want to stay in that miserable state. And again, as we're studying this, we're going to learn that we're getting kind of this feeling again for the kingdoms of glory, meaning those who put their trust in the Lord and seek the Spirit, then they will be perfected by God. But at least, as it says, just remember the Lord. If you will do the least remembering, then he will at least save you from the eternal misery. Well, anyway, it goes on to say what causes men their problems, and it says in verse 4 that men set their hearts on the vain things of the world. What are the vain things? The things that lift them up. That's why it says in verse 5 that they're quick to be lifted up by pride. That's what vain things are. We have our fancy clothes to make us feel pride. We adore another man because we think of being in his place. We think, well, this man is so great, and let's lift him up. When they lift him up, then they think, but I'm really better than he is, and he doesn't deserve it. So he lifts himself up. So by lifting someone else up, he lifts himself up, and this is the trick of the Satan to bolster man and make them turn and forget their Lord because they're thinking of themselves. And as it says it in 5, they do not remember their God, and they do not give ear to his counsel. I'll point out there are two levels there. Meaning we saw in the previous chapter that if the men would just remember the Lord would not cause their wars and famines on them. But the second level is they do not give ear unto his counsels. I mean, this is not counsels of church leaders or for groups. That did little for changing a man. If you want to really, or for perfecting a man, you want to be perfected, you have to find out, you have to look into ourselves and say, what is my problem? What do I need to do to correct myself? I need to work on myself. Here's the counsel, Lord, tell me what to do. Create the experiences for me. They don't want to hear that portion. That's why it says there, they're slow to walk in wisdom's path. That's the wisdom. Lord is the only one that has wisdom. We don't have any wisdom. It says in the Bible, if a man lacketh wisdom, let him seek it of God. God will tell you the wisdom you need to perfect yourself. And you'll get it nowhere else. And again, it says in 6, they set it not his counsel. We don't need his counsels. In fact, when they set it at naught, they look at those who claim to live by spiritual revelation, and they say, so why is that man lifting himself up that he thinks he should get to live by, that he should have a special relationship with the Lord? Again, I repeat, those who live by spiritual revelation do not claim a special relationship. They claim it's free and open to all. They have just partaken of it. And it says that they will not, that he should be their guide in verse 6. Now we're seeing it. Now we're seeing this is very specific. We're not talking about guiding a church or guiding a government. Their guide, your personal guide. And we learn from this that the Lord has prepared, Jesus Christ has prepared a personal progression path for every person to perfect that individual. And it is personal and it is for you. And the way you get onto it is by making the Lord your guide. Your guide through this life. As he said in previous chapters, let him guide you over this life of misery or through the gulfs of misery that the devil has to ensnare you. And if you feel this misery, you want to get back into his path, the path of him being your guide through personal revelation, through filling the Spirit. When we have personal revelation is receiving the communication, by receiving the Spirit is just by daily feeling, am I in tune with the Spirit? Because there are spirits on the other side of the veil preparing a way for you. And if you stay on that way that they are preparing for you, you continue to feel the Spirit. And if you go off of that, you will notice that the Spirit seems to go away. But there is a Spirit in, for each man to guide his path in life. And then it complains because it's saddened by the fact that it says that the dust moveth to the command of God. So we are less than the dust. Why? Now we see the understanding of unworthiness and why King Benjamin said that we were the worse than the dust. Because we do not obey the command of God. And even the dust, with its element And this match of match with intelligence or combining with intelligence will obey the Lord. Why? Because it knows the Lord does nothing other than to improve and help all intelligence to progress. As it said, when we learn about him populating the earth, that all things were created to fulfill the measure of their creation, and they fulfill that by living the commandments of God, and even the dust knows that the earth is alive, and it knows by obeying the Lord that it is progressing itself, and we are such fools that we will not listen to the counsel of the Lord and think that we know what's best for us. And that's what he's saying. He's saying that he can command the whole earth, and he does that. He talks of that for 10 verses. And the Lord, and he says the earth listens. Why won't man listen? But unfortunately, man won't listen. And what's implying here is that man follows his own way, and so he says, and he begins to then say it. What he's saying, starting about verse 20, is that for man to turn back to God, and he's saying to repent. And he's saying that the earth obeys the Lord. It's not allowed to disobey, meaning that it always obeys. It hasn't ever disobeyed. Every man has disobeyed. We've all sinned. We've all disobeyed the Lord. We've all went our own way. But we should be doubly thankful because he's provided a way for us to repent. The earth doesn't repent. It doesn't have a way provided. Why? It didn't need one. But we should be extra thankful that instead of being cast off, and because of our iniquities, we could be cast off forever. But he provides a way for us to come back. So it says in 25 all men should listen, but some shall be cast out at the last day. So if you don't at least, and now again, we begin to see this talking about kingdoms of glory, because we know that many, in this case, or most, would not listen to the Lord, and at best, only some would remember the Lord, but very few would do as. It says clearly that very few are the true followers of Christ in other places. And here, we're only Lehi and Nephi are really willing to seek the will of the Lord. So we see it begins at these levels. But does he cast off all these people? No, it says only some will be cast out. Again, we get these feelings of there being kingdoms of glory. And that there's only some that are so foolish that finally, what are we talking about? And it is that they will accept the care and the death and the murder and the pestilence, and they will accept that, and that still, even in the gulf of that, they won't turn to the Lord. Okay, and then we have those that turn to the Lord then, but they don't last long, and then we have some that last a little longer, and some that actually then seek his will, or as we saw, Helaman said they were willing to do his will continually, but then we have those that actually seek his will. You see, and we begin to see that they've laid out these different levels for us. And again, I really will point out that comes in verse 25 when it only says some will be cast out. When we read the flavor of this, what it's really saying is that most, the vast majority, deserve to be cast out due to his great mercy and his plan of repentance and everything else. He has provided a way that that most will at least receive some kind of inheritance in one of his kingdoms.